and thank you for downloading Sporting Witness from the BBC World Service with me, Ashley Byrne. Today, we're taking you back to 1985 and a World Cup qualifying match that descended into chaos. I've been speaking to Hong Kong team manager Lawrence KKU about his memories of the clash with China, which became known as the 519 incident. It's the 19th of May 1985, and 80,000 fans look on as the China and Hong Kong national football teams battle it out at the Workers' Stadium in Beijing.
Of course, they were pressing us all the way, all the time, all these 90 minutes. Yeah.
The match was being broadcast right across China and Hong Kong. Both teams were hungry for victory and the chance to compete in the World Cup in Mexico the following year.
They were just too eager to beat us. They want to beat us 3-0, 4-0, and then tell everybody how good they are.
Hong Kong team manager Lawrence Yu remembers that as the final whistle was blown, the fans couldn't believe that China had lost to its much smaller neighbour.
They were burning cars and overturning cars and throwing rubbish bins around outside the stadium.
In 1985, Hong Kong was still ruled by Britain, not China. So although there was a shared history, there was also a lot of rivalry too. And tensions had risen following an official British announcement that the colony would be returned.
We have no idea what's happening. After 150 years of colonial rule, suddenly we were told that we'll go back to China. It's a very mixed feeling. We are Chinese, we are very happy that we can go back to our home motherland, but then they were communists and we have a totally different law, different system, different way of living.
The match in Beijing on the 19th of May was actually the second time the teams had met during the qualifying round, but on that previous occasion, neither team had come out on top.
The home game in Hong Kong, we have a draw with China, there's no score, 0-0. They have been suppressing us all the game and we hardly have any... any offensive at all. We were just always on the defensive side. But lucky enough, we make a draw. So the game in Beijing will decide which one of us will be qualified in the group.
Lawrence recalls that one of the reasons the Hong Kong side was so strong is that they weren't relying just on youth and enthusiasm.
In 1977, the Hong Kong team qualified for the group in Singapore. So we were all very happy. And then our coach decided that we should change to a younger team. But then ever since then, the result of the Hong Kong team is not very good. So in 1985, we decided to recall the old players, which helped us to qualify in Singapore in 1977 to play again.
On that day in May 1985, the Hong Kong team knew they didn't have much support from a crowd desperate to see China make it to the World Cup for the first time. In fact, only 60 of their fans and 20 reporters had made it across to Beijing. As the players prepared to walk out and meet the opposing team, Lawrence Yu remembers giving an impromptu pep talk.
What I said to my players is, there are 80,000 supporters outside for the China team, and it will be watched all over China. The 11 players outside are the best of their 1.1 billion people, and you are the best 11 of our 7 million people, and I would like to see how our best 11 beat their best 11. And then also I said, we have everybody supporting us in Hong Kong watching it live.
So what was it like walking out in front of those 80,000 Chinese spectators?
Actually, it's a bit... I'd be scary, I can remember that. And then another thing which is quite different from what we play in Hong Kong. In Hong Kong, when we walk in, they clap their hands. It was very noisy. In China, they stamp on their feet. It looks like an earthquake. It really shocks, yeah?
Hong Kong started the game well, but Lawrence says his team tried not to get overconfident.
We are not hurried to score. We take it easy, we control the ball. It's interesting because they have been attacking us and they have been shooting, putting goals everywhere, but they just couldn't put it in.
And 20 minutes in, much to the dismay of the Chinese fans, Chung Chee Tak scored the first goal for Hong Kong off a free kick well outside the box.
They fought very hard, and they come back with one goal, so it was 1-1.
Despite the score now being 1-1, Lawrence Hugh says the Chinese team seem very nervous.
They just want to kick the ball into our net, and the more nervous they are, the more it's a more handicap for them to do anything. Yeah.
And as China valiantly fought to score another goal, Kum Kam Fei put one away for Hong Kong instead, and the predominantly Chinese crowd couldn't believe it.
I think they were shocked. They just can't believe that the Hong Kong team score again. I mean, what I remember is my brothers called me on the telephone saying that once we score the goal, all the friends, football friends in Hong Kong, opened their window and shouted into the street, and they all jumped into the street and celebrate. I mean, I wish I was there also in Hong Kong, yeah.
China failed to score again, and the match finished in a 2-1 victory for Hong Kong. But Lawrence and his teammates had very little time to celebrate.
We all run into the pitch and embrace each other, and then the players carry us and carry the coach. And in a few minutes' time, then bottles and all sort of things and stuff flying around. So it was a riot. It was all a riot not only in the stadium, but also outside the stadium. Me and my boys, as well as the Chinese players, we cannot go back to the stadium. So we have to gather together in the middle of the pitch just to avoid all these firing missiles. Yeah? And then finally, in 2 hours' time, protected by the police, we get back to our hotel.
Safely back at their hotel, the Hong Kong players could really start celebrating, and their handful of loyal fans soon joined them.
Because they know where we are staying, there are 60 of them, with all the reporters in Hong Kong, about 20 of them, they all joined us for a celebration after the game in our hotel. And it was a very, very heart-touching moment.
The Hong Kong team returned home to the British colony to a triumphant welcome.
When the plane landed, we were surrounded by 30 cars guiding us to the terminal. And when we outside, they were cheering us. I mean, fire brigade, ambulance, police car, and all sort of vehicles. And when we get out of the terminals, then we are carried away by the fans, and then the newspapers.
And your next match was against Japan, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, we went to Japan and we lost 3-0, yeah.
Lawrence, now in his 70s, says the events of the 19th of May 1985, also known as the 5-19 incident, were a wake-up call for China and Chinese football.
They have to learn how to accept a defeat and make the best out of it. And I think ever since then, the Chinese government, as well as the Sport Association, realised they have a lot to learn and a lot to improve in the football. And slowly, slowly, the Chinese Premier Football League is improving such a lot.
And after all these years, he still looks back on the match with pride.
I think it's the highlight of my football career. After 30-odd years, people are still talking about this. I mean, that makes us feel so proud of what we have achieved.
Former Hong Kong team manager Lawrence KKU was speaking to me, Ashley Byrne, for this edition of Sporting Witness. It was a Made in Manchester production for the BBC World Service.